This is the Draft Room with Brian Lowe on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. The Draft Room is your exclusive look inside the NFL Draft. Think you know who will go in the top 10, whose stock is rising, and whose is falling?
There's a lot of guys with good value on those spots.
Who will Mr. Irrelevant be this year? You'll find out as we go inside the Draft Room with Brian Lowe.
The excitement, no doubt, is building for the draft. Hello, welcome to the Draft Room. I am Brian Lowe on this Wednesday here on Patriots.com, coming to you for the next hour, 12 to 1 Eastern, talking about the draft that is now just a day away. We are 31-ish hours away from St. Louis Rams being on the clock and officially ready to go. And I got to be honest with you, yeah, I think they're going to take Sam Bradford. But I'm not convinced. I'm not entirely convinced that they're not going to trade out of there. And also, one little item I saw on the blog by Rob Rang, who we had on the show last week, the possibility of them taking Dominican Sue instead of Bradford, number one overall, which would shake up everything. So it's really getting down to business here. Here at Gillette Stadium, today's the day where they're setting up the draft room. And if you check out Patriots.com, in just a few minutes, in fact, we've got a little look inside the Patriots room. IT personnel setting up the phone lines. We know how much the Patriots Sweet. Like to wheel and deal, make some trades, and their phone lines are being set up so they can easily and quickly contact the other 31 teams. And it's really getting interesting and exciting. The first time, of course, that the draft is in prime time, round one tomorrow night, Thursday night, and then rounds two and three Friday night, which to me is the big key night for the Patriots. And then it'll all wrap up on Saturday. So we want to hear from you. Webradio at Patriots.com, webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. A lot of storylines to get to related to the Patriots, related to the league. We're also going to talk to Clifton Brown from Sporting News. He's one of their well-respected NFL writers. He's got some interesting thoughts on the draft and other NFL news. And I got to be honest, could there be a busier and a more storyline-heavy off-season week, really, in any sport than what we have this week? The schedule, the entire NFL schedule came out yesterday. We've got big player news with Jason Taylor going to the Jets, Torrey Holt coming to the Patriots, and of course the draft coming up. And really, over the last half an hour, the big news around the NFL is multiple sources, multiple stories reporting that Ben Roethlisberger will get 4 to 6 game suspension because of his conduct. But believe it or not, that might not be the biggest Ben Roethlisberger news. Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting that the Pittsburgh Steelers are actively looking to trade, or at least are very interested in teams coming in with trade offers, and they're looking for a top 10 pick for Ben Roethlisberger. So we'll certainly be monitoring that over the next hour and seeing if any news breaks there. Talking about different mock drafts, and really every NFL writer has mock drafts coming out in these final days and hours leading up to the draft. We had our first sort of news items on possible drug-related problems with draft-eligible players. Anthony McCoy, the tight end from USC, and Jonathan Dwyer, the Georgia Tech running back, both have been now linked to drugs, and wonder how that might impact their draft prospects. Like I said, the Patriots draft room is churning. They're getting ready, getting set up there, and so it's really getting down and dirty. I want to get to some emails right off the bat before we get to Clifton Brown in the next few minutes. This first one actually came in last week. This is from Gary, who had a two-part question. One part had to do with Ted Ginn, and that is now null and void because Ted Ginn was traded to the 49ers. His question is, now that Albert Haynesworth is available for a probable second-round pick, do you see the Patriots picking him up on draft day or before? Albert Haynesworth, one of several high-profile players in the league, including Roethlisberger, O.C. Umenyura is another one, who could be had on draft weekend. Now, the interesting elements with Haynesworth are, yeah, he signed a massive money contract with the Washington Redskins last year, but a lot of that money, the Redskins are on the hook, and a team trading for Albert Haynesworth doesn't necessarily have to pick up a ton of that money, so he could be had. But I don't think he's a guy that would interest the Patriots. I think there's a little too much baggage there, and I think also the talk that the Redskins would be going to a 3-4, that is part of what he's unhappy about. In that he'd be more of an interior guy in a 3-4 as opposed to a pass-rushing guy who could pile up the sacks. I think he's more of a guy looking to get his own stats. I don't think he'd be a good fit here, and I certainly don't see the Patriots dealing one of those second-round picks for an established player. In my opinion, if the Patriots were willing and looking to deal a second-round pick, they would have done it by now for one of those restricted free agents, maybe a wide receiver, a guy that they like that would be available for a second-round pick. I don't see Albert Haynesworth being that guy. But thank you very much for the email, Gary. Webradio@patriots.com. That's how to reach us. We're going to go to the phone lines now. Sam in Brighton, who has emailed us during each of the weeks of the draft room, joins us by phone. Sam, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Brian?
Doing great. It's always good to hear from you. Want to know what is on your mind as it pertains to the draft.
All right. I'm going to try to convince you that Jared Eldrick is not going to be our pick.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear you out.
I just don't think that that's a major need. I mean, if we had to play a game right now,
yep.
Tully Vanacane and Pierre Woods would be our outside linebackers.
Agreed. Yep. And Adalis Thomas probably would not be in the mix.
That's not good enough. You know, if we had to play a game right now, our D-line would be fine. Vince Wilfork, Ty Warren, Wright, Lewis. I mean, that's pretty much what we've had. You know, last year we went with a similar thing, you know, just Lewis for Green. That's really the only difference from last year's D-line.
But how did that all work out for them?
You think the D-line was the problem last year?
Oh, I don't think the D-line in and of itself was the problem. I don't think the current D-line that they had was the solution. I was very much against the Richard Seymour trade when it happened, not because of the value. I think getting a first-round pick and a first-round pick from a bad team was great value. But I thought it really hurt the team for 2009, 5 or 6 days before the season opener. And in my opinion, a big part of the pass rush and getting after the quarterback, sure, the outside linebackers are a huge part of that. Vrabel, McGinnis, guys like that in the past. But I think the movement that the defensive line gets up front is a big part of it as well. And I just think that when I look back at where the Patriots drafted Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork, Richard Seymour in the first round, when they see a guy who can be a versatile guy along the line and either stop the run, hold up against interior offensive linemen or outside offensive linemen and help those outside wide receivers get at the quarterback, those are the guys that I look at that can make an immediate impact. And I'm with you. I think there are more immediate needs for the Patriots than defensive end right now or than defensive line. But across the board on the Patriots, there is not a single position with the exception of quarterback that I think is not in play for the first couple of rounds.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I think Jared Eldrick is the guy, and it's not because I've, you know, studied hours upon hours of his tape. I think the combination of the position that he plays and versatility. I've studied some. The combination of the position he plays, his versatility, and the fact that front seven in general is a need for the Patriots as it relates to the pass rush, I think he's the guy. And the fact that they are always hesitant to bring in outside linebacker pass rush guys and the money that they have to give them in the first round because of how tough it is to project, I think that makes me think they're going to go more second round or later with pass rush guys.
I think we've gotten spoiled over the years with having three defensive linemen all drafted in the first round.
Sure.
And I think our outside linebackers are really, really weak right now. I mean,
no doubt about it.
Like one starter.
No doubt about it. And that starter, if you're talking, Tully Vanacane as that starter.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that, you know, having him be an every down guy. I think a lot of people feel that you maximize Tully Vanacane's potential and his impact if he's not an every down guy. And I kind of agree with that. I'm with you. I am absolutely with you. This team has a lot of holes in outside linebacker. Or just pass rush in general, is probably their biggest. Now, who do you think they will take in the first round?
Well, if Kindle's there's no way they don't take him.
Really? Okay. I think Kindle is absolutely on their radar screen. I think he does fit the bill as far as what they're looking for. And that Texas connection, the Will Muschamp connection, the fact that the Texas program produces a lot of good pro-ready guys, I think is a factor. And I'm not dead set on Eldrick, but I will say this. I've seen Kindle go anywhere from like 10 or 12 to the very end of the first round. So that'll be an interesting one if he's there and if they do pounce. Any thoughts on their second round guys?
Sure, but let me just tell you this about Kindle first. He's of all the pass rushers in this draft, he's the one that can do other things better, like cover. Like he's a versatile player, like what Adalis Thomas was supposed to be and Mike Vrabel, not just a pass rusher. You know, like the Patriots don't have like those DeMarcus Ware type of guys. They're an outside linebacker in name only. Like, really, all they do is rush the passer every play. I think Kindle is more of a Patriot outside linebacker. Like, he can do the other things.
Well, there's a lot of people who feel the same way, and I don't disagree. I do think Odrick is going to be the guy, though. Let's quickly, Sam, if you want to give us what you think in the second round as we approach the draft.
All right, probably a receiver.
Yep.
And, you know, just a tight end. And then maybe that's where second round you can get your D end there.
Okay.
All right, thank
you. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Sam, many thanks for your emails and for the call. Sam from Brighton, who's been one of our go-to guys here in the draft room as we come your way through the draft. And keep in mind, we will be back with you next Wednesday, 12 to 1 Eastern, breaking down the draft. We're going to talk to Clifton Brown in a bit, but let's just get to a few other emails right now. This one from Paul in London, another star of the show. Hey, Brian, excitement building for a draft that I now have to stay up late into the early hours of the morning for. That's right, Paul. That time change doesn't help you out here, does it? Okay, here's what Paul says. Here's my final mock for the Patriots. Sergio Kindle at 22, Golden Tate or Damian Williams at 44, Rob Gronkowski at 47, and then we trade number 53 and the fourth rounder to get two third rounders, taking Dexter McCluster and George Selvey. How about that for our draft? Well, Paul, I love it. I think you're right on a few different things here. Like I said, Sergio Kindle, I'm going Odrick, but I think Kindle makes a lot of sense, and a lot of people are with you there. I actually am going Damian Williams with one of the second-round picks, so I'm with you there, but I think Golden Tate, I think he'd absolutely be a good fit. I just think Damian Williams is the second-best receiver in this draft behind Dez Bryant. Love the Gronkowski pick. I have him going 53. And then I'll tell you what, they will make a trade. I think it would be an upset if the Patriots go into the first two rounds of the draft with those four picks slotted where they are and take those four. So spreading them out a little bit and getting some thirds, I think, is interesting. Dexter McCluster, very versatile offensive guy, little guy. He's projected as more as a receiver, slot receiver, but can play running back. I think he's definitely one of those guys that you get the ball in his hands, you see what he can do. And then George Selvey, the defensive end out of South Florida, I think he's he's definitely one of those tweeners. D-end, outside linebacker, can rush the passer. Not as sturdy as some of the outside linebackers the Patriots like to have, but I think he'd be an interesting third-round guy. So I like it. And quickly, Paul says here, his first 10 picks, Bradford to the Rams, McCoy to the Lions, Sue to the Bucks, Williams, that's Trent Williams, to the Skins, Russell Okung to the Chiefs, Brian Bulaga to the Seahawks, Berry to the Browns, Campbell to the Raiders. Very interesting there. A lot of people had him, Bruce Campbell, the very physical and athletic offensive lineman, to the Raiders. Jimmy Clausen to the Bills, and then Derek Morgan to the Jags. I'd love to see the Rams take Sue, though. Blow the draft wide open and get some excitement straight away. Thanks for the shows, Paul from London. Well, Paul, that Sue to the Rams is definitely an interesting one that seems like it might be getting a little bit of steam as we go toward tomorrow. And whether or not the Rams stay at one, you know, if they trade out of one, you've got to imagine someone's trading up to get Bradford. If they stay at one, I think there's reason to think that they might pass on Bradford. If they're not convinced, what they could do is stay where they are, take Sue, and maybe try to get Colt McCoy, either with that first pick in the second round or move up if you have to. Or if they make a trade with Cleveland at number 7, you know, maybe you take Jimmy Clausen if they think he's the guy. But I think it'd be very risky to do that. If you think Bradford is the guy, you take him. But otherwise, you know, you can certainly have some options there if you are the Rams. And one important thing to note is, you know, they traded Adam Carricker to the Redskins the other day. I think that was yesterday. And could that mean that they're opening up a spot on the defensive line for a guy like Dominican Sue or Gerald McCoy? I'll tell you, it's very interesting. Can you read a lot into a trade like that, Carricker for a fifth? Well, maybe not. But it's an interesting one to look at. Another email here, and this one is from Peter in Orlando. The anticipation is starting to get to me. I'm just a little upset. I work nights and won't be able to see the first two rounds this year. Anyway, with Torrey Holt now signing on with the team, do you still see the Patriots picking a wide receiver in the first two rounds, or do you see them waiting till maybe the fourth or fifth rounds for a project rather than one who would step in and play right away like Golden Tate? And if so, who are some late-round guys that fit? I like Marty Gilliard, Jordan Shipley, Jacoby Ford, and, of course, my Florida guys like Riley Cooper and Carlton Mitchell. Thanks, Peter. Here's the thing with Torrey Holt. I think Torrey Holt is an interesting signing, and if there were a game tonight, I think Randy Moss and Torrey Holt would be the starting wide receivers for this team. I think Torrey Holt can still bring it. Not the way he did with the Rams. I think his stats last year with Jacksonville were interesting. He had 51 catches, 700-something yards, no touchdowns. I think he could be a decent possession guy who could maybe step in for Wes Welker if needed. But I think it's a stretch to think that a Torrey Holt signing has anything to do with the draft. I mean, it has nothing to do with the draft. I don't think any of the moves that the Patriots have made this offseason, and there aren't many of them, but I'm talking Algie Crumpler, Damian Lewis, David Patton, Torrey Holt, none of these moves have anything to do with the draft. Torrey Holt is a guy who could have an impact this year, but probably not beyond. I still think the Patriots are desperately in need of some young, talented wide receiver. I have them taking Damian Williams in the second round, with or without the Torrey Holt signing. But back to your question about late-round guys, I think they could take a guy in the second round and another guy in the fourth, fifth, sixth round at wide receiver. Guys like that you mentioned. I like Jordan Shipley, Jacoby Ford, a little guy. Desmond Briscoe has a lot of red flags behavior-wise, but I loved what I saw on tape. I think he'd be a guy out of Kansas State, a guy to take a flyer on later on in the draft there, Peter, if you're asking me about that. So thank you for the email. Webradio@patriots.com is a way to get in touch with us. 508-543-7482 is another way. We're going to take a break in just a moment. We're hoping to get Clifton Brown of Sporting News on later on. We definitely want to hear from you. So many storylines to get to here regarding the draft, and we'll get to all of them here in the draft room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back into the draft room. We're talking draft, but there's so many stories that aren't directly draft related, but are indirectly draft related. So I'm taking some liberties, though. This is quite a stretch to say that this is draft related, but 6 years ago, leading up to the draft, the Patriots traded for Corey Dillon. They traded a third or fourth round pick for Corey Dillon. That's the only reason why the news I'm about to tell you has any relation to the draft. Corey Dillon arrested for DUI this morning out in California. So there you go.
I don't care about the numbers.
Well, Corey Dillon had some decent numbers, some really good numbers with the Patriots, but his number this morning was $5,000. That would be the amount of money that he had to fork over. To be released from custody. TMZ reporting Dillon was driving near Malibu on Mulholland Drive, and this is around 3:30 this morning in Los Angeles. Corey Dillon arrested for DUI. There you go. So a very colorful character in Patriot lore. Anyways,
I didn't come here to get no stats. I had stats. I came here to win football games.
Thanks, Jason, for pulling those up. That was some good stuff there, Corey Dillon. All right, back to the inbox. First of all, I have to offer an apology here. Last week we had an email from Hamish in Dunedin, New Zealand. And Hamish chimes in today, and before he gets to his draft question, he takes me to task for mispronouncing his name. Fair enough. I said Hamish. It's Hamish.
Idiot.
From Scotland, not India. Hamish, my deepest apologies, and I can only be thankful that you did get onto a lighter note in your email, and we can get to draft talk. Sorry about that. Here's what he says. I cannot wait for the draft to arrive and am especially ecstatic as coverage of it starts down here in New Zealand just after I finish 4 hours of lectures. My question to you this week, do you think a guy like Demaryius Thomas would be a guy who would work well for the Patriots, as I've seen a few mock drafts sending him our way? Just wondering what you thought of him as a player and whether or not he would fit into what the Patriots might be looking for in draft day. Anyway, keep up the great work. Hamish, thank you very much for the email. First of all, just to get to your first point about the timing of the draft, it seems like we're getting some pro, some con as far as who likes the format of this draft. I like it because I feel like more people might be able to get home from work, sit down, watch the draft in prime time, as opposed to, you know, sort of having to give up your entire weekend if you really care about the draft. But on the other hand, you know, it can be a tough one depending on what time zone you're in and all that. So definitely an interesting one, and I'm looking forward to it because first round, can focus on the first round, then take a deep breath from an observer perspective, if you're a fan, media, whatever, and on Friday sort of digest everything that happened on Thursday night and get ready for Friday night. Back to your question, Demaryius Thomas. Excellent wide receiver, 6'3" guy out of Georgia Tech. The problem with him, he's coming off a foot injury that he suffered just before the combine. So, you know, he's a guy who didn't really have a chance to show what he could do at the combine. I think he's in a little bit of catch-up mode in the last week or so, trying to have teams see what he can do. It seems like he's widely considered talent-wise the second in the right after Dez Bryant. You've got a pool of players including Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate, Marty Gilliard, Damian Williams, who I really like in that pool. And I think Demaryius Thomas might just be that second most talented guy, but he's got an uphill climb because of that injury. He can really stretch the field, really good after the catch, and I think he'd certainly be a fit for the Patriots because what I think they're looking for as far as wideouts is that sort of Moss clone, a bigger guy, lankier guy who can stretch the field. I think he'd be an interesting guy, but you know, I just don't know if he's a guy you risk with one. I think you can take him with one of those second-round picks. Where that fits in, I think he could be in that 30 to 40 range. Patriots are at 44, 47, and 53, so hard to say if he'd fit into their plans, but as far as their draft plans, I think he'd be an excellent guy to have, and I think he's going to go high because it seems like that foot injury might not hinder him into camps. You know, a red flag would be if rookie camps and mini camps, and then, of course, training camp would be hindered by that foot injury. So that's a big question, and that's something we just don't know. So Demaryius Thomas, I think he'd be in the mix. I don't think he'll be a Patriot, though. Hamish, thank you for the email, and sorry about botching the first name last week. Another email to get to here, this one, Jason in Manassas, Virginia. Brian, I haven't been keeping up lately with what the Pats have been planning to do with their first pick in the draft. As teams are posturing for the big day, what are your thoughts on the most likely situation for the Pats? Will they trade or stay and make a pick? Would it be defense? Thank you very much. Jason is listening to the drama unfold for the Skins in D.C. Thanks for the show on the internet. Go Pats. Okay, Jason, here we go. I think it's defense. I think it's Jared Odrick. Among the names to consider, of course, are Sergio Kindle. You hear Marquise Pouncey of Florida mentioned. There's even a mock draft I saw that does have Tim Tebow going to the Patriots with that first-round pick. I think the key names to think about, though, are Odrick, Sergio Kindle, Brandon Graham. Those are really the ones. But what I like to think in terms of the Patriots in this draft, anything goes. Really, any position is up for grabs for the Patriots with, in my opinion, the exception of being quarterback. But then again, you talk about quarterback, maybe Tim Tebow is a guy. I don't see it in the first round, but you never know. So, yeah, I think defense is the way to go. I think that's the direction they're going to go. But if you look at those first four picks, first round and three in the second round. If I had to guess, I say it's split, two offense, two defense. I think on offense, those skill positions are really important in this draft. Wide receiver and tight end for sure. I think on defense, it's the pass rush, and the pass rush is kind of broad. You know, the pass rush involves outside linebacker. It involves defensive end, but it really involves defensive tackle as well, clogging up the middle to allow the defensive ends and outside linebackers to get in there and, you know, get after the quarterback. So, Jason, you know, a lot of ways to go. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, if you want to email in again, who you think they're going to go with. I know you're saying you're just now catching up, but based on their needs, where do you think they're going to go? Anyone else has any opinions? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Here on the Draft Room, coming your way for another half an hour, 12 to 1 here on patriots.com. And, of course, we will be back next week as well, Wednesday, from 12 to 1. I heard Mel Kiper Jr. This morning on the radio, and he said that Tim Tebow could go 30th to Minnesota, and he was toying with having Tim Tebow going 30th to Minnesota in his final mock draft, which I thought was very interesting. And he does think also Jimmy Clausen could go to the Redskins, that the Redskins could very well be in the market for a quarterback, even with the trade of Donovan McNabb. And the Donovan McNabb trade a couple weeks ago, the Santonio Holmes trade a couple weeks ago, could those trades be sort of precursors to other big trades this weekend involving NFL players, established NFL players? That's a topic I want to get to here with Clifton Brown of Sporting News, who's nice enough to join us. Clifton, how you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Absolutely terrific. It couldn't be a busier week on the NFL offseason slate as far as the schedule coming out and the draft coming up. And now we hear all this Ben Roethlisberger news. Why don't we just first get to that? I know you have your pulse on the NFL in general, the draft, established players. Ben Roethlisberger could be a suspension, could be a trade as well. What are your thoughts on Ben Roethlisberger, at least as far as how it relates to the draft potentially?
Well, definitely Roethlisberger is going to be suspended. It's just a question of how long. I was actually just in Central Park with some other reporters talking to the commissioner. He didn't say if a ruling was coming today or not, but it's coming soon, and I don't think there's any way he avoids the suspension. As far as whether he'll be traded or not, I still think the odds are slim. He is a franchise quarterback. Obviously, he's won two Super Bowls. Would the Steelers really get, you know, value for him or the proper value for him by trading him? No. So I don't think it's going to happen, but teams are definitely going to call the Steelers. If they're blown away by something, it is at least a slim possibility.
Very interesting. And, you know, Roethlisberger's name is not the only one as far as established players who could get dealt this weekend. You've got Albert Haynesworth, OC Umanura. Any thoughts on established players who could get traded? Do you see anything happening along those lines?
Yeah, well, you heard Haynesworth's name. That's a possibility. It's clear that he and Mike Shanahan are not on the same page. Mm-hmm. He does not want to play nose tackle, and he has not come to the off-season workout. So I think he's definitely on the block, although he has a huge contract. It won't be easy. I think Marshawn Lynch, the running back from the Bills, he's another guy rumored to be on the trading block. I think the Bills are looking to get some more draft picks. I think that he's another veteran who could go. So those two guys, I think, definitely worth keeping an eye on as far as being about impossible trades.
Very interesting. And when we talk about possible trades and we start talking about the draft itself, the St. Louis Rams, they have the number one pick. A lot of thought that Sam Bradford would be the guy. But, you know, there still seems to be some smoke that maybe they trade out of that pick with Cleveland or possibly stay at number one but not take Sam Bradford. What are your thoughts about the St. Louis Rams approach tomorrow night?
I think if they stay at number one, they will take Bradford. And I think that's the most likely scenario. However, I think they are open for business. I think that's why they haven't negotiated with him. That's why it's not ironclad in stone that he is going to be the number one pick, because the Rams have a lot of needs, obviously, not just quarterback. And if somebody's willing to move up and give them an opportunity to fill two or three holes or extra holes in this draft, they would definitely consider taking it and then not have to, you know, pay Bradford that huge contract they're going to have to pay him if they take him at number one. It's possible they could move down a little bit and maybe still be in position to get Jimmy Clausen and some extra draft picks. So the Rams are going to, I think, listen to anybody's offer up until the point when it's time for them to pick, And if nothing blows them away, then they'll take Bradford.
And if not Bradford, or certainly Bradford and Clawson are the top two quarterbacks, it looks like that could both go in the top 10. If not the Rams, who do you think are the most likely teams in the top 10, say top 12, to pounce on a quarterback? We hear Washington still being bandied about, even with that Donovan McNabb trade.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I think that obviously having McNabb now makes the Redskins feel they don't have to take a quarterback, and they have an obvious need to tackle. I think if they have a chance to draft Russell Okung at number four, they'll do that rather than take a quarterback like Clawson. I think the Bills, if Clawson gets to number nine and he's still available, I think the Bills are going to take him. I don't think Clawson's getting out of top 10. And then once Bradford and Clawson are gone, it's going to be interesting to see if anybody later in the first round tries to jump up into the first round to get either Colt McCoy or Tim Tebow, because a lot of people think that once you get past McCoy and Tebow, then the quality of quarterbacks takes another drop down. So there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback. They may start to panic late in the first round and try and make a deal to get into the first round to take either Tebow or McCoy.
Yeah, you make a great point about that trading up for quarterbacks, and we saw that certainly with like Brady Quinn a couple years ago, Cleveland trading back into the first round to get a chance at him. Do you see Colt McCoy? Do you personally see Colt McCoy and Tim Tebow maybe joining Sam Bradford and Jimmy Clawson in that first round?
I don't think both of them will, but it's possible that at least one does, because I think the Vikings at number 30, they have a chance to or have a possibility of taking a quarterback. So I think any team that needs a quarterback and has an eye on either Tebow or McCoy may not feel they can sit there and wait for Minnesota to take one of those guys away. So, yeah, you may see, you know, a Jacksonville or a couple other teams try to jump ahead of Minnesota so they can pick one of those two guys.
We're talking to Clifton Brown of Sporting News, who follows and covers the NFL. And, Clifton, one of your recent posts on Sporting News had to do with high-risk, high-reward guys in this draft. And one of those that I want to get to is Dez Bryant. And last week there was certainly a lot of buzz around the Patriots, that the Patriots had worked out Bryant, had him visit. If Dez Bryant – first of all, first question, do you think Dez Bryant will still be around at number 22? And if he is, do you think he could be a fit for the Patriots?
I don't think he'll be around at 22. I just think he's too good of a player, despite any concerns people might have about his maturity level or any off-field stuff. I just think he's too good of a player to last that long. If he does, he'd fit in great with the Patriots. Obviously, yeah. You know, Wes Welker's health situation, you don't know even when he's coming back or if he'll be the same guy when he does. Randy Moss is getting older. To get a guy like Dez Bryant to go with a Tom Brady would be huge for the Patriots. But I think if they're really serious about getting Dez Bryant, they would have to trade up and move up to get him.
What would you say is the Patriots' top need going into this draft?
I still feel defensively they've got to get younger, faster. I think their defense has taken a lot of hits over the years, recent years, with some quality guys leaving, not just quality football players, but quality leaders. And I think that's where they really slacked off last year was defensively. Offensively, they could still score points, but they just could not stop the good teams defensively. So they have a lot of draft picks, as you know. They can go a lot of different ways, but overall, I think this will be a defensive-minded draft for the Patriots, and that's the direction they should go.
Very interesting. Clifton Brown of Sporting News. Another topic I want to get to that you also touched on in one of your recent columns had to do with under-the-radar, later-round quarterbacks. And we've seen the Patriots go in the direction of quarterback either in the later rounds or as undrafted guys many times. And Matt Castle, of course, is one of those who they were able to turn into a second-round pick. Mike Kafka from Northwestern is a guy that you pinpoint as a player the Patriots could be interested maybe in the fifth round or later. Tell us what you know about Kafka, and if you think that's the right approach or an approach the Patriots could go as far as a late-round quarterback this year?
Yeah, well, he's a guy who put up huge numbers in college and obviously is a guy who's very bright, feel like you can teach him your system, and he's going to be one of those guys who knows the offense inside out. And the Patriots have a luxury with Tom Brady. They don't need a quarterback for next year or for the next couple of years. So it is a perfect situation where you can come in, be groomed by one of the best quarterbacks who's ever played, not have the pressure of playing right away, and then maybe be in the heir apparent to Brady. So, yeah, I think it would not shock me at all to see the Patriots draft a quarterback in one of the later rounds with the idea of grooming him for the future, much like the Eagles have done with Kevin Cobb.
Absolutely. We saw, yeah, we saw the Eagles take Cobb even with McNabb. McNabb, that was, what, 3 years ago? McNabb was, yeah, about the age that Tom Brady is right now. So that would be an interesting approach. Clifton, before we let you go, just want to see if you can give us a sense of maybe your biggest surprise, the biggest surprise you think might happen tomorrow night during the first round.
Well, that's a good question. I have a feeling that we're going to see two or three trades in the first round involving teams in the first round. I think it's going to be a very active night. This draft is deep. There's a lot of teams that have either multiple picks or a lot of teams that don't have many picks and are looking to acquire more picks later. So, yeah, I think that once you get past maybe like the eighth pick, you're going to see teams moving up and down the draft board, which is really going to blow up all these mock drafts we're seeing us all do. I think we're wasting a lot of paper because I think tomorrow night is going to be very unpredictable.
Well, and I'll tell you what, here in New England, when people try to predict what Bill Belichick might do, it's just a futile effort. But that's what makes it fun, and that's the reason we'll all be following what takes place the next 3 days. Clifton Brown, Sporting News, thank you very much for taking a few minutes of what certainly is a busy day, busy period of time, and we'll be catching your work on sportingnews.com.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thank you very much. Clifton Brown, sportingnews.com. Nice enough to join us for a few minutes with his take on the draft. And he certainly does think Sam Bradford will go in the first round. And he does not think Dez Bryant will be there for the Patriots at 22. So interesting thoughts from him. We're going to take another break here on the Draft Room. Still some time for you to chime in here. Webradio at patriots.com. We want to hear from you in these final 20 minutes or so. Your last chance to get into the Draft Room and tell us what you think the Patriots will do in tomorrow night's first round, in Friday night's second round. We'll be right back after this.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in a shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got it?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
The New England Revolution have more than just fans. They have supporters. A fan might say,
hey, buddy, would you knock off the shouting? I'm trying to watch the game.
But a supporter says, Revolution season tickets are on sale now and start at just $225 for 15 matches and 3 special events. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net to get yours now. Now's your chance. Hit up B-Lo in the Draft Room at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
Welcome back to the Draft Room. I am Brian Lowe here on Patriots.com. We're talking draft for the next 15, 20 minutes or so. As I said at the top, the Patriots Draft Room being set up today, and we had a little sneak peek, an inside look that should be up on Patriots.com anytime now. You might want to check that out. And then later on today with Patriots Today, Andy Hart and I sit down for our final little Patriots mock draft and take a look at a few storylines related to the Patriots leading into tomorrow night's draft. So I want you to check that out. And keep in mind as well, next Wednesday, 12 to 1 Eastern, we'll be here for the draft room. We'll be breaking down what the Patriots did. We definitely want to hear from you for, on that show. Now, tomorrow night, the first round happens. You're thrilled to death with what the Patriots do. You're pissed at what the Patriots do. Same thing Friday night. Pen us an email. Write something up. Send it out to us. We'll get to it next week. Maybe the PFW guys will chat about it. I will as well. Send us your thoughts right away. We want to hear from you at webradio at patriots.com. We were talking earlier about the Torrey Holt move and if that impacts the Patriots. And, you know, along the lines of Damian Lewis and Algie Crumpler and David Patton. No, I just simply don't see these moves impacting what the Patriots do. If they were to, you know, trade for O.C. Umanura today, yeah, I think that might impact what they do. If they made a free agent move and traded for Miles Austin or Vincent Jackson, yeah, that might have an impact on what they do, a cornerstone guy like that. But no, these lower-tier moves are for guys who might have one, maybe 2 years here with the Patriots. They could be guys that don't even pan out and don't really make the team. I mean, think about the excitement of Joey Galloway last year. At this time, and you thought, hey, Joey Galloway would be the perfect fit, a veteran to complement Randy Moss and Wes Welker. That's a huge move. They don't have to worry about wide receiver. They're fine. Well, how'd that work out? You know, wide receiver became a pretty big hole. So that's an interesting topic to think about as we lead into the Patriots draft. I think they could be all over the board, a lot of different areas they could go in. Paul in New Jersey chimes in. Hey, Brian, love the show. Double exclamation points. How about that? People love this show. Double exclamation from Paul in Jersey. With the Pats having the ammo to possibly trade up, do you see them pulling the trigger should someone slide in the first round? If so, who could you see as a possible target? You know, if I had to put my money on it, I'd say no. They don't trade up. I think they've been going all in on the draft this year. Think about moves that other teams have made and moves that the Patriots have made. Their moves have been retaining their own guys and making very low-level, low-risk free agent signings like the ones I just mentioned. I think they're going all in for the draft. I think they want to load up on the number of picks. I think they can still get a lot of impact guys with those four picks that they have in the first two rounds. I don't see them trading up. Now, if I'm wrong, and let's be honest, you know, I'm not going to be right about much of what I say about the draft, let's be honest.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
No, you got to get that in there every week, don't you, Jason? I mean, I guess I lead right into it, but, you know, you got to get that in there.
Easiest setup in the world.
Is it? Is it? Really? Even with Kirsch and Perillo and Andy and Scalavino that you deal with for 4 hours every week?
I have enough of them.
Yeah, I know you do.
You don't say much.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world, so I do try to keep my mouth shut. Who would they go if they had to? If they were to trade up, really trade up high in the first round, you might think I'm crazy here, but I think it would be for one of those blue chip offensive tackles. Not their biggest need right now. I think they could certainly go into the 2010 season with Matt Light, Sebastian Vollmer, and Nick Kasher as their top three offensive tackles. But I think going forward, maybe 2011 and beyond, I think of those three, there's a very real possibility that Sebastian Vollmer is the only one of those three. If they had not, think about this for a minute. If they had an opportunity to move up into the top eight or nine, let's say, and had a chance at a guy like Brian Bulaga, let's say he was still there, or maybe even Russell Okung or Trent Williams, maybe Anthony Davis I don't think you'd have to trade up for him, but let's say there's a guy in the top 10, an offensive tackle, that they have their eye on that they really like, and it turns out he's still around at 10, and they try to trade up. Listen, think about the possibility of Sebastian Vollmer and Brian Bulaga as your two tackles going forward, and maybe there's a move to be made with Matt Light or Nick Kasher. I'm just saying that is something that, to me, could make sense, but I don't see them doing that. They'd have to give up their first. They'd have to give up at least one of their twos and much more to move up, and I just don't see them doing that. I don't see them taking that ammunition and trading up. I think more likely they stay at the first-round pick at 22 or move down a little bit. No one wants to hear that. Maybe they move down a little bit into 28 to 32 range and can still get a guy that they really like. Last year, they moved down. They were still able to get Patrick Chung, who they obviously liked with that second pick of the second round. And then Butler and Brace, guys who they probably had their eye on all along, knew they wouldn't have to take him in the first round, and pounced in the second round. But I could see them taking one of their here's a storyline that has gotten a lot of play about the draft this year. You've got the first round, and then you've got all day Friday for teams to restock their board and analyze what direction they want to go with the second or third round. What's going to happen is teams will see players that they thought would be first-round guys available in the second round, and they might be willing to overspend for a second-round pick. Can we rule out at 44 a team seeing a guy still available at 44 and willing to give up, sit down for this, a first-round pick next year to the Patriots? Every year, you see this happen. Last year, the Denver Broncos traded a second-round pick. They traded a second-round pick for a first. They acquired a first-round pick last year, another first-round pick. I'm sorry, they acquired a second-round pick last year for a first-rounder this year. And, you know, I don't think we can rule that out. And the Patriots may well be looking at that as a possibility, and they'd have the chance to go into next year with three first-round picks. And keep that in mind, too. The Patriots do have those two first-rounders next year, the Raiders and their own, to maybe use as ammunition if they do decide to go up in the first round this year. I don't see it happening, but maybe we can't rule that out. And so Paul in New Jersey, who's asking this question, I think offensive tackle, that's the position that I think you trade up in the first round to get. They're obviously not trading up to get a quarterback. I think a guy like Eric Berry, no, I don't think so. I think Dan Williams is a great guy that I would love to see the Patriots get, but, you know, I think that specifically would be too high mid-first round to take a defensive tackle with the money they just gave Vince Wilfork and with, you know, the guys that they've drafted last year at defensive line. Maybe Dez Bryant is one of those guys. We talked about him being a risk-reward guy with Clifton Brown from Sporting News just a little while ago. Well, maybe the Patriots see much more reward than risk, and maybe if Dez Bryant is still around at, say, 14, 15, maybe they move up for him. But my guess would be they stand still at number 22, and they work those second-round picks, some wheeling and dealing there for more picks or for picks next year. So that's what I think they're. Thanks for the email. Thanks for everyone who's emailed in. Webradio@patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us. We're talking about Ben Roethlisberger earlier and some rumors now that he could be traded, that the Steelers are actively looking to trade him, maybe for a first-round pick, maybe for a top-10 pick. That's the asking price.
That's crazy.
Well, hey, listen, that's the asking price. That, to me, is a sign that they don't want to give him up, but they'd be willing to talk if a team is willing to pony up what it takes. I can't see Donovan McNabb going for a second-rounder and Ben Roethlisberger going for a first with the baggage that he carries.
But he does have more Super Bowl rings than McNabb.
There's no question. But there's a significant PR hit that a team would have to take if they trade for Ben Roethlisberger in the next 72 hours. Not to mention the fact that he's definitely going to be suspended for at least the first four games, it looks like. There's no way the Steelers could get a top-10 pick. Maybe a team drafting late in the first round. But, you know, teams drafting late in the first round tend to have quarterbacks. That's why they're drafting that late.
To any Steeler fans listening, you all suck.
That is not me. That's John Rook. Jason, you make people think that I'm saying that right now. People who don't listen to John Rook too much, you know.
I think they could tell that that's not your voice.
I hope so. But you never know. I've got an image. I've got an image to uphold. I don't rip Steeler fans. I don't like Steeler fans. But
make sure you tell your friends.
Oh, you cut that off now? Wow.
It's dated.
It is dated. Mock drafts. Rob Rang we had on last week, and he truly is a guy who definitely has his pulse on the draft. He has Jared Odrick going to the Patriots at 22. What he says, and this is in his latest mock draft from just 2 days ago, Odrick, the defensive lineman from Penn State, the long-term contract for Vince Wilfork solved one problem, but the Patriots suffered last year without Richard Seymour. The loss of backup Jarvis Green only makes finding help along the defensive line even more of a concern. Belichick loves versatility and good technique in defensive linemen, and Odrick brings that. Well, that's kind of what I think as well, and why I think Jared Odrick could be the Patriots guy at 22. And then in the second round, he's got Golden Tate going to the Patriots at 44. He's got Jason Worlds going to the Patriots at 47, a guy that I like as well, that I actually as well think the Patriots are going to go with at 47. guy out of Virginia Tech. You know, he's a pass rusher. He's a defensive end. I think he fits into what the Patriots are looking to do. As I was talking about earlier in the show with one of our callers, Sam from Brighton, the pass rush is the main point of the pass rush. They need outside linebackers. I think they do need outside linebackers. I think we shouldn't diminish what the defensive linemen have to do with the pass rush, and I think that's where you're going to get the blue chippers. And Rob Rang also thinks the Patriots will go Toby Gearhart at number 53 in his latest mock draft. The Patriots are likely to use at least one pick on a running back in the first half of the draft. Gearhart's toughness and versatility make him a Bill Belichick-type prospect. Very interesting. Don't see Toby Gearhart in too many mock drafts to the Patriots, and he's definitely a late second-round guy, Heisman Trophy finalist at running back, so interesting to consider right there. Jason, I asked Jason in the email earlier to, now that he has a little bit of a better feel for what the Patriots might be looking to do, to send us an email in. Here's what he says. Brian, I think defense is the way to go. Since I agree with you, the fact that losing Richard Seymour was a blow to our defense in terms of gelling on that side of the ball. Leadership, in general, is going to take time on that side. We need our team to really have some chemistry early. Maybe some DBs that you had described earlier in the show, and whatever we can do to get pressure on the quarterback. Wide receiver, I agree with that opinion as well due to Wes Welker's tough injury. I really don't see a trade-up. More value might be in the second round. You can bet I will be listening to your show to keep up with what we do. Thanks for getting back to me, Jason in Manassas. So Jason thinks defense is the way to go, and I just go by the Patriots' history at targeting blue-chip defensive linemen, and you know, the fact that they've taken a lot of cornerbacks in the a lot of defensive backs in the first couple rounds, the last couple of years. You know, Brandon Merriweather, Patrick Chung, Darius Butler, Terrence Wheatley. Those were all guys in the first two rounds of the last few drafts. Now, I don't think that rules out taking a defensive back in the first couple rounds, but I think. I think you can get the better prospects you can get, I think, are at defensive line. I just think that's where they're going to go. Now, leadership, I think what they're looking to do is take the guys from last year's haul of draft picks, and they had 12 draft picks last year, and this year's draft as really the cornerstone players for this team going forward. And I think leadership has a lot to do with that. You start with Gerard Mayo from 2008, who truly is the up-and-coming leader of this team. Guys from last year's draft that I think could be leaders on this team, you know, are certainly Darius Butler. I think Darius Butler is going to come into his own, and I think Sebastian Vollmer could be a quiet leader on this team. This coming year is too early, but they're trying to mold these guys into being the fabric of this team, kind of like what the Patriots had from 01 to 05, you know, the Brewskis, the Harrisons, you know, and of course Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I'm not diminishing that. He's certainly in the mix. But I think they're taking the 2009 and 2010 draft and the total number of guys that they're going to have from these drafts as the cornerstone of the future for this team. So, you know, I think a lot. I think they're not diminishing the what leadership means to these guys. I think they're going to take high character guys. I think that's very important. They tend to do that, and I think that's what they're going to do in this year's draft as well.
All right, Bilo.
Yeah, Jason.
So, 5 minutes left in the show. Last show before the draft.
Yeah.
It's time for you to go on record.
Yeah.
Top five.
The NFL top five?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to say that the Rams are not going to stay at number one and take Bradford. I think they're going to trade number one or stay at one and not take Bradford. I really do. I just think there's enough question marks. It seems like they're not enamored with Sam Bradford, and that is too much money to give a quarterback who you're not enamored with. And just because he is the top-rated quarterback this year does not mean you should take him number one. I think the Rams will not take Bradford, and they'll end up getting Colt McCoy later in the draft. So there you go. I think they're going to make a trade with Cleveland, and Cleveland's going to have the number one pick and take Bradford. That's what I think is going to happen. I truly do. I think Bradford will go to Cleveland number one, and then I see sort of status quo. I think Sue goes to Detroit number two, and I think McCoy number three to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then four and five I think are going to be offensive tackles. Okung, Bulaga, and Trent Williams. Two of those three will go four and five. I don't know which ones. I take a lot of stock in what Rob Rang said last week, that Trent Williams is the guy for Washington at number four. I'm not convinced of that. I think Russell Okung is the safer bet. And then Kansas City, number five. I think Brian Bulaga is a very likely possibility right there. I don't see Scott Pioli taking Eric Berry, the safety. So I'm going to go Bradford to Cleveland, number one. Sue to Detroit, two. McCoy to Tampa, number three. I'll say Okung to Washington, four. And then Bulaga, number five, to Kansas City.
Who are the Patriots pick in the first round, or do we trade?
Jared Odrick, first round, number 22 overall. That's who I think they're going to go with. I think there'll be more. I think there'll be movement with their second round picks. I think they stay at number 22. But keep this in mind. I have no idea what they're going to do, Jason. Who does? Why? Because I am.
I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you were going to play.
I don't have the slightest idea.
I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Every year when you try to consider what the Patriots might do, it's a futile effort. Now, one thing I'll remember is Don Banks 2 years ago nailed it. He had the Patriots, who were at number 7 overall, trading down with New Orleans at number 10 and taking Gerard Mayo. He had that the day before the draft, and he nailed it. He knew what the team was going to do that year. I don't think anyone ever knows what they're going to do. Most likely, they'll end up taking a guy that no one has considered in a mock draft. You know, they'll take a guy. I'm looking at a mock draft here. I'll pick out a name that they will take. Oh, I don't know. Carlos Dunlap. And, I mean, he's a Florida guy. People are thinking of him as a Patriots guy, but no one has him in the mock draft. What do you think, Jason? You got your eye on all this.
I haven't the slightest idea.
You haven't the slightest idea. Here's the thing.
Just a radio producer.
There you go. That's all you are. They have 12 picks, five of which can't be traded. Those are all in the sixth or seventh round. I do think that they would like to close some of those gaps that they have, third round and fifth round, where they don't have a pick right now. And I do think they'll wheel and deal. They made a ton of trades last year, like something like seven or eight. Another thing to keep in mind, remember last year they traded Ellis Hobbs on draft day. 3 years ago they traded for Randy Moss on draft day. Who are some guys that maybe they could trade of their own team for draft picks this weekend? Can't rule out Lawrence Maroney. I think if they take a running back in the second round, I think that could be a precursor to a Lawrence Maroney trade the next day. Other guys, just a name I throw out, James Sanders. You know, they've drafted Merriweather.
Don't tell Andy.
They've drafted Merriweather and Chung the last couple of years. You know, maybe they can get something for James Sanders if they think that, you know, he has some value. I'm just saying, keep those names in mind. I mean, Ellis Hobbs, a trade for Ellis Hobbs was not on the radar last year. So, you know, keep that in mind, making trades of their own guys.
Here's my last one for you.
Yeah.
Who will Mr. Irrelevant be?
Oh, geez. Who will Mr. Irrelevant be? Man, I don't know who the seventh round guys are. I'll say Dominic Randolph, Holy Cross. I'm from Worcester. Dominic Randolph, the quarterback, who is a projected non-drafted guy who has gotten a look, I think, from the Bengals, I think from the Patriots and from the Giants. Why not? There you go. I'll say Dominic Randolph will be Mr. Irrelevant. I don't even know who has the last pick in the draft. It might even be the Patriots, for all I know. I'm not even sure. I think the Patriots are going to draft a punter at some point. I think they're going to end up, if they have 12 picks right now, I say they're going to make 11 selections overall. A combination of wheeling and dealing. Of those four picks that they have in the first two rounds, I think ultimately they'll end up making three selections. If they make four, you can check out Patriots Today later on today for exactly who I think and who Andy Hart thinks they'll take with those exact four picks. We'll have that coming your way later on today. And like we said a few times, next Wednesday, 12-1, inside the draft room right here, we will break it all down. We'll talk about what the Patriots did. We'll talk about what happened in the league, some interesting storylines that are sure to unfold over this three-day selection process. We want to hear from you. We want you to send us emails at any time between now and next week. Or, you know, if you send an email today, it probably will be null and void by next week. But send us an email ranting and raving if you need to on what the Patriots do. We're hoping to get some good guests next week. You know, we'll see how the draft unfolds, see who we might have available to us that can join us on the phone lines. And, of course, we do want to hear from you. Our thanks to Clifton Brown, who joined us from Sporting News and had some interesting insight in the draft. And our thanks to each of the emailers from these last few weeks and also the guests that we've had. We've had a guest each week, and my thanks to Jason as well for checking in and for helping us out with the emails, the phone calls, and the guests. The draft, tomorrow night, round one, 2 and 3 on Friday night, rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. I can't wait. I know you can't either. We'll see how it all unfolds, and we'll see you right here next week in the draft room.